Good evening. If you see me get a little excited, you know, as the sermon goes on, I ask Jamie to bring a whiteboard and every so often write down the IU score and just kind of flash it to the side. We're not going to do that. We can put that aside for now and we will just check that score later. But on a more serious note, I do want to say how much I appreciate this group and especially after the events that happened this morning. The ability to be flexible, to just kind of put what we were doing on hold, and to just use that time to encourage and pray and be a comfort to one another. That certainly means a lot. And I know Miss Renee would certainly appreciate that too as we had that time together. Many asked about the lesson we started to look at this morning, and we will come back and do the full lesson again at some point, so save your outline, you might get to use that again at a later time. Tonight we do want to continue our series that we are doing, as this year-long series, and if you're visiting with us, what we're doing is we are taking some songs that we sing that we typically call children's songs. Songs that we sing with our kids in Bible classes, songs that we sing with our kids at home, and we're reminding ourselves of the lessons that are still applicable for us today, lessons that we still get out of those songs. And so this morning, or this evening, we're kind of looking at two different songs. One is I Will Make You Fishers of Men, and the song talks about if you follow Jesus, He will make you fishers of men. And that goes with our reading that we had there in Matthew chapter 4, that Jesus took those fishermen, those brothers, and He called them to follow after Him. And the other song is the one we just sang, Peter, James, and John in a sailboat. And the lessons that we learn as we look at this song. And so tonight I want us to think for just a few moments about some lessons. Some lessons that we can learn from a fishing boat, and some lessons that apply to us as Christians, especially as we become fishers of men and go out and share the gospel with others. Now, growing up, some of my favorite memories came from being on the lake with my father and my grandfather. The picture that's used there is actually a picture of Kentucky Lake, where my family has property, and that picture was taken shortly after my grandfather passed away. I went down there. I was by myself and I went out and just sat there and just took in the scenery and took in that moment and remembered those memories that I had from fishing with my grandfather. And he taught me many life lessons while we were out on the water. He taught me how easy it is to drift. You set yourself up and you want to go out and you go fishing and you think you found the perfect fishing hole and you're focused on doing that. And 5 minutes later, you look up and you've drifted 100 yards away from where you started at. He taught me how important patience is. You've ever gone fishing, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, but what do we want to do? We want to catch fish. And if we don't start catching fish fast enough, we get a little impatient and we begin to try to start trying something else. And he also taught me that things don't always go as planned. Sometimes there's boat problems. Sometimes we get our lines tangled in the trees on the shoreline. Sometimes we miss the big one that we're going after. There's problems that can occur. But many of those lessons, they also apply to Christianity. And so tonight I want to share some lessons on evangelism. Lessons we learn from a fishing boat. And the first lesson I share with you is that you have to put a line in the water to catch a fish. You have to put a line in the water to catch a fish. You have to go to the fishing hole. You have to go to where the fish are at. Well, what are the odds that I could step out on my front porch at my house here in Salem, Indiana, and cast the rod out into the front yard and catch a fish? Well, maybe Friday it was getting close to possible. But most of the time it's not. We're not going to be able to just walk out on our front porch unless we live on a lake and throw a line into the middle of the street and catch a fish. To catch a fish, you have to go to where the fish are. You have to go to the river, to the pond, to the lake. You have to go to the ocean. Oh, the same is true when it comes to evangelism. We have to go to where the lost are. This is seen in the instruction given to the apostles through the Great Commission.
at the end of Matthew, as Matthew brings his gospel message to a close, we see there beginning in verse number 18 that Jesus came and said to them, he said this. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, growing up, I always heard we are commanded to go and make disciples. And we oftentimes make that going a special thing. We're going to purpose in our heart that right now we're going to go to evangelize. You know what that word "go" is really talking about? Some translations will translate it as "while you go." The point is that making disciples is something we should be striving to do all the time. When we go to work, when we go to school, when we go to the ball fields, when we go to the park, we are looking for opportunities to teach. We're looking for opportunities to make disciples. It's not a special action that we're doing. It's something we do while we are going. Mark 16 says the same thing to us, to go into all the world and make disciples. But here's the thing. We don't just aimlessly go around just with no mission and no purpose. We need to be searching for people to share the gospel with. We are actually supposed to go looking for the lost, to share with them the gospel. And I think too often we waste our time waiting for the lost people to find us. There was a church that at one time was looking for a gospel preacher. And in the qualifications or in the job requirements that they wanted from a gospel preacher is that they wanted him to hold office hours from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Well, that's okay, maybe. But you know why they wanted him to hold those hours? In case someone called the church. Not many people are coming here looking for the gospel. We have to go out into the world to look for the those who are lost, to share the gospel. And we might do things like put out an ad in the newspaper. We might put out signs. We might advertise on the radio and radio programs. And all of those things are fine and good. But if that's all we've done, we can't think we've done our job to share the gospel. It's more active. It's more involved than that. We need to go looking. Jesus didn't put a sign up and sit under a tent and wait for people to come to him. He went from city to city. We need to be active. He went to them. In Luke chapter 19, as Jesus was passing through Jericho, we learn of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very short man in stature, and we know the story that Zacchaeus had climbed up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord passing by. But I want you to notice in Luke chapter 19 what happens with this interaction. He ran ahead in verse 4, climbed up in a sycamore tree, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. And they grumbled because it says he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But notice the response. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus responds by saying, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." That is what we are to be doing as well, seeking and saving those who are lost. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking with his disciples, after he talks to them, and after he talks to this woman there, we find that he sends her back into the city, or he sends his disciples, into the city to go buy food, and he has this conversation with the Samaritan woman. And this woman, after having this conversation with Jesus, runs back into the city to tell everyone, could this be the Messiah? His disciples returned with some food. But he doesn't take the food. Notice what he says in John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 31. Meanwhile, disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages, gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. The fields are white for harvest. We need to understand that's still the case. The problem is that we put the ads on Facebook, we put the ads in the newspaper, and we sit and we wait for people to come. We need to get busy. We need to open our eyes and see the fields are white for harvest and do our job to get out and share the gospel. We all have to ask ourselves, are we really seeking the law? Or are we hoping the lost will start seeking us? It's time we put a line in the water and get busy doing the Lord's work. The second lesson that we get from a fishing boat is that you have to learn to bait your own hook. As kids, we have moms and dads and grandparents who gladly bait our hooks for us. But as kids get older, do you know what moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, you know what they want to do? They want to fish. They want to go fishing themselves. Before we moved up here, I guess it was last year, the year before, we had come up and my dad, myself, and my brother went out and went fishing. And my dad asked the question, when's the last time you really got to fish? I said, it's been a while. Why? Because usually there's a kid or two with me and you spend all your time baiting their hooks and maybe untangling their lines and you're there to assist them. And those are joyful times and we don't take those times for granted. But as the kids get older, we eventually want to do our own fishing as well. The same is true when it comes to preparing people to be teachers. For a while, we help and we always help. But there comes a time when we have to learn, as disciples, we need to learn to bait our own hooks, to get out and do our own work in sharing the gospel with others. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Hebrew writer there says that, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. There is no question that we should expect new babes in Christ to need help. To need help in teaching and understanding the gospel. But as they progress as Christians, we should expect them to be out in the world teaching the gospel themselves. To be out sharing the gospel with others. This principle is also seen in the relationship between Paul and Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15 there, Paul told Timothy, he said this. He said, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul encouraged Timothy to continue in what he has learned. Do you know what he learned? The things that his mother and his grandmother had taught him from a young age. Continue in those things. We need to learn how to be teachers. Another part of learning to bait our own hooks is understanding that different fish need different bait. If you're going to go deep sea fishing, you're probably not going to take the same bait you would take to go bluegill fishing in the small pond behind your house. You're going to take different bait. And even in that, but depending on what fish you're going for, you need to learn what those fish like. You have to learn what they chase. What kind of animals do they prey on? And the same is true when it comes to teaching the lost. We need to learn where people are at and begin to teach from that point. That means we need to use different bait with different people. And understand, we're not trying to deceive them. We're not trying to deceive them to catch them. We're trying to teach them where they're at. This is exactly what Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we see that Philip was told to go join himself to this chariot. And he joined the chariot and he found the eunuch reading from Isaiah the prophet. And it says that the eunuch said, who's he talking about? And it says, beginning at this scripture, Philip began to teach Jesus and preach Jesus to him, beginning where they're at. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul taught those in Athens, he walked through and he saw all their gods. And there was the inscription, to the unknown God. And beginning at that point, this unknown God, let me tell you about Him. He taught the people where they were at. He taught them in a way that they would understand what He was saying. And Jesus also did this. Jesus also taught in different ways. He told parables. He asked questions. At times He spoke straightforward to the point of what He needed to say. But we can learn from this that we need as well to use different methods of teaching when it comes to dealing with different individuals. A lot like parenting. If you have more than one kid, you understand that you have to parent a little bit differently. We have to do that. Some we have to be very harsh and straightforward with. Other times we just have to barely raise our voice and it gets our point across. Parenting different ways is a lot like teaching. Different ways, different methods. And we teach them where they're at. The third lesson I will share with you is the fact that patience is necessary. One of the hardest things for many people when it comes to fishing is a lack of patience. With the old joke, if you caught something every time you put your line in the water, it'd be called catching and not fishing. Well, fishing sometimes takes patience. And then again, if you've ever gone fishing with a child, you learn this. Test a line in the water for a child, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to start reeling it in right away or they're going to start swinging their pole back and forth because they're getting bored sitting there. If you ever go fishing with Grayson, as soon as you cast it out, he's going to reel it in and say, that bait didn't work, we got to change our bait. Patience is necessary. Patience is necessary when it comes to fishing. Patience is necessary when it comes to evangelism. We need to be patient. I don't know how many times I've seen that potential Christians were pushed away because of impatience. Always pushing, always pushing, always pushing and never stopping and listening. Never stopping and letting them have a moment to think. We understand as Christians, becoming a Christian is a very big deal. It's one of the most important decisions that we make in our life. Before one becomes a Christian, they need to take that matter seriously and be thinking about that. But if we never close our mouths long enough for them to think, for them to ask questions, good possibility we're going to do more harm than good. When it comes to evangelism, we need to wait for the lost to take the bait. And of course, we're not trying to deceive. We're trying to get them to see the importance and the necessity of the gospel. Again, one of the biggest problems we face in teaching the lost is that we give up. We're either too pushy or on the other end of the spectrum, we give up too easily. We say one thing to them and they don't respond the way that we want. We think, they're not interested. And we just walk away. Well, go to Mark chapter 2 with me for just a moment. In Mark chapter 2, we read about a man who is a paralytic, and this man has some of the best friends I think anyone could ever have. Because these friends knew that Jesus was able and capable of healing this man. And so they came to the house where Jesus was, and they saw that the room was so crowded that they couldn't even enter the door. And so they turned and looked at their friend and said, "Sorry about you. Let's go back to the house." No, as you see in Mark chapter 2 in the first 12 verses, when they came to the house and it was so full they couldn't get in, they didn't stop. They went up on top of the house, they cut a hole through the roof, and they lowered this man down to get to Jesus. If you want to talk about perseverance, I think that's perseverance. You ever cut a hole through someone's house because you were so, you knew how important it was to get in and see them or talk to them? Probably not. Most of the time we'd probably be like, "Why are you cutting a hole in my roof?" But the point is you see the perseverance that was there. They didn't get there and they didn't quit. They kept going. How about us? Do we give up too easy? Do we quit before we ever really get started sharing the gospel? Do we determine before we ever begin that they're not interested and we just stop? We need to learn patience when it comes to evangelism. After all, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, in a summary way, God is patient with us. He is patient with us. He is giving us time and opportunity, and He's given us many second chances. We need to be patient. And this is important because we need to understand that we can scare the fish away, as I talked about. We can be impatient and we can easily push them away to where they're not interested in the gospel at all. One more lesson I think we learn from this point is that there is a time to be quiet. There is a time to stop and a time to listen. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, look with me for just a moment at Proverbs chapter 17. In Proverbs chapter 17, notice what is said there beginning in verse 27. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27, it says this. It says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. The louder we get, the more we push, oftentimes means the bigger wedge we drive in getting people to come to Christ. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to listen. The last point I want to share with you this evening is a necessity and an understanding that we just have to come to. And that is the fact that we can't catch them all. Yes, we want everyone to be saved. Yes, we want everyone to obey the gospel. But the gospel tells us not everyone's going to accept the simple message of Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to listen to the gospel message. And when you go fishing, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you go out and you might spend an hour, 2 hours and never catch a fish. Again, if you caught something every time, it'd be called catching and not fishing. You don't catch them all. The same is true when it comes to evangelism. Jesus said we are to be fishers of men. That means we won't win them all to Christ. And this should be expected because we read passages like Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, and He tells us this very fact. When He says there in Matthew 7, beginning of verse 13, He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The fact is God has made us all free moral agents. We are all able to choose what we do from day to day. He's given us the ability to live our lives as we please. That means there are some who will not choose Jesus. There are some who will not obey the gospel. That means we're not going to get them all. Some may respond like Felix in Acts chapter 24 when he said, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for you. There comes a point where we have to get up, dust off our feet, and push on sharing the gospel. Does that mean that we just give up on them completely? No. But that means maybe we put more of our efforts towards somebody else, to share with somebody else the gospel. But here's the thing. If we catch one out of every 10, we're doing all right. If we catch one out of every 10, that is one out of 10 souls that is now saved that wasn't before. And we keep going. Of course, we would love to see a perfect score of 10 out of 10. 10 souls, 10 saved. But realistically, we know that's not always the case. And when we don't catch that one, we put a line back in the water. We learn to bait our hook, and we keep going, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've shared with you a couple different times a quote that was shared by Penn Jillette. And again, that quote says, "How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that heaven and hell is real and not tell them about it?" Who do you hate? Who will you not share the gospel with? It's the best news that anyone could ever be told. We need to be busy sharing the gospel with others. The message, that hope, that promise that comes from believing in Jesus, being baptized, being raised to walk in newness of life, and faithfully serving Him all the days of our life. His plan is on the screen behind me. Will you follow it? If you've never obeyed the gospel, will you do that tonight? Become a child of God. Faithfully serve Him. Maybe it is you've done that, but you've not been faithful. You've fallen away. You've not been the Christian you should have, and you need to come back. Why not repent of those things and come back and faithfully serve Him again? And then let's all get busy sharing the message of Jesus Christ. We encourage you to think very seriously about your heart and your soul tonight. And if we can help you according to the gospel, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.